What a good day that it is. And as always, when we have an opportunity, a special day like today, to honor our mothers, it is a great day. So if you are a mother and you are here, we want to say thank you for just being a mom. Thank you for taking all that life that you've done and you've poured into your children and have loved them and taken care of them. Thank you for all that you have done. It is a special day. Mother's Day, as we call it, and we could go all kinds of different directions about the service this morning. But I do believe it is right and it is good for us to stop and us acknowledge our mothers and think about and share or discuss some things about mothers. So I believe that this morning, and you know, my mind doesn't always work the same as everyone else's, but I've been thinking, what is it about today? What can I talk about today about our mothers? How can we honor them? What should I say? What should I talk about? And so I thought of thinking about the debt that we owe. And I think how seriously we should take this idea of our indebtedness to our mothers. Everything that they've done, everything that they mean and continue to mean to each one of us, all that they've done for us, we are indebted. And so I want to share some ideas with you this morning about our indebtedness because of mothers. First off, the first thing, we have a debt of gratitude. Now, stay with me for a moment, but we're not going to talk about moms just for a moment. Our indebtedness for all the blessings, for this gratitude that we should have, goes to God. Now think about what God has done. And you go back to the beginning and God created everything. And each day for 6 days, He was creating the world and the universe. And He got to the end and He watched and Adam is sitting there and He's having all the animals file by and He's coming up with all of these names for all these animals. And I don't know how He came up with all of those names. I don't know why He called certain animals a certain name. I don't understand that. But He did it. One by one, they came by. I don't know how long He was there, but I'm sure it was quite an extensive amount of time. But no one was found that was right for Him. And God watched this, and I believe that God did it very intentionally so that man, Adam, could watch and see all of these things and go, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, it's majestic of this creation that my God has created. But what about me? And so God already knew what He was going to do. He formed and He fashioned the most perfect part of His creation. He formed woman. And He brought her to Adam and He said, this one is for you. Not to own, not to possess, but to be the partner in life. To walk side by side, to bear children. And I think about that, and I think that God, in His culmination of all that He had done, of all the things that He had spoken into existence, He brought the perfect last. And He brought her to Him. And you think what God has done. Not only did He create woman to be a wife, but He created her to be a mother. And you think about this. He designed you ladies unlike men. Only ladies, only women can bear children, right? You know, we've heard that. We've laughed about it. If it were up to men to have children, the world would be a lot less crowded place. Probably we wouldn't choose to go through all of the things that you go through to bear children. But God designed you perfectly to bear children. God designed women perfectly to nurse children. Men can't do that. And we know as we read doctors and their advice that these are the things that should happen. Mothers, if they nurse their children, that the health benefits for that. But not only that, it's that nurturing process. It is that relationship, the connection between that child and mother that will be there forever. And God did that. God made women physiologically perfect to be mothers. He made them psychologically perfect to be mothers. That nurturing process, men aren't that way. Now, I know I'm overgeneralizing, and I know that there are fathers who are nurturing, and we should all be nurturers, but it's not the same. Mothers do it differently. Mothers have this opportunity to do things that we don't, and God created you that way. Mothers teach, and they love, and they hold, and they do all of these things for their newborns or their children that dads a lot of times don't do. And so we look at and we go, we have a debt of gratitude to our God because of the way that He brought you ladies into existence. The way that He created you, the perfect creation. And I think at the end of chapter 1 of Genesis, if you remember what God said, He looked at the creation. Each day as He created, He stopped at the end of the day and He said, it's good. Oh, day 1 was good, and day 2 was good, and day 3 was good, and day 4 was good, and day 5 was good. And we're looking across creation, and it is good, it's beautiful. On day 6, He changed just a little bit, and He said, it is very good. And literally what He said, it's perfect. It's finished. Everything, the entire design that I had and I wanted to bring about, is now finished. Everything is right. He designed woman, the perfect. And I think until we grasp God, until we grasp His creation and how He created, we can never really fully appreciate Mother's Day until we start realizing that God did this for us in this world. He created you ladies, you mothers, you wives, and you young ladies that will one day be wives and mothers. He created everyone. We owe a debt of gratitude to our God for creating you ladies. And so we thank our God for that. And we've done it in prayer this morning, and hopefully you've done it throughout your life, thanking God for your mothers or the mothers in your life. I am thankful for my mom. And I know my mother's not here today with us. She's often worshiping at their congregation, but I think about all of the things that she's meant to me, and I'm thankful to God. God created our moms the way He did. If not, I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't have anything to be thankful for. God is powerful. He's majestic. He is an awesome God, and we are grateful to Him. But not only do we owe a debt of gratitude, but we also owe a debt of encouragement. And what do you mean by encouragement? Look around you. Think about in your life the ladies that you know, the mothers that you've known, and all around you throughout your whole life. How many good mothers do you know? How many mothers could you stop and say, boy, she was a really good mom. She did some really good things. And the way that she raised her children was a wonderful blessing to even witness. And the power that she has and the commitment that she's made and all the things about her life, those are things that ladies should imitate. This is a woman that other women should imitate. Do you know anyone like that? I know a lot of ladies in my life. I'm married to one that has done a wonderful job. If you listen to all the accolades, and I'm not going to spend all the time of what Hayden has gotten over the last 2 weeks, but the list is long, and she was not going to be there if she didn't have encouragement. So I know a lot of the attributes of a godly lady that raises her children and is a wonderful mother. I get to be around her every day. And with that said, I think how many of those ladies we're encouraging others to be like that? Or do we encourage them to continue even being the lady that God created them to be? How many times do we say, you're doing such a wonderful job raising your children, and it's a blessing to watch that. It's a blessing to be a part of your life. And so we have this debt. We should be encouragers all the time, passing on their faith. And one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and I've preached on her life in the past, is Hannah. And you think about 1 Samuel, we're introduced. There's not a whole lot about Hannah in the Bible. But you watch her life, and you watch that first chapter, and she's praying to God. She wants a child so desperately, and she's willing to do almost anything. But so she goes, and she begins talking to God, and she begins praying and saying, God, if you'll just give me this child, it's the only thing. This is all I'm asking for, and I want to be a mother so desperately. And God answers that prayer later. But the thing that I get out of Hannah is this. Hannah, as she's praying, Hannah finds satisfaction in the prayer, not in the answer. Now, I want you to think about a faith that takes to find satisfaction in just praying, not in the demand of the answer. Now, she walked away from praying to God satisfied. Her spirit was lifted because she had faith in the one she was praying to. She didn't have to wait for months or years later when she had that child. She didn't have to wait to that point. She knew as soon as she was speaking to God that that was the one. There's the satisfaction in the relationship with her God, her Creator, the one who sustains her. And she got that. And so we look at her life and I think, how many mothers can find satisfaction in the prayer, not the answer? How many mothers do we have teaching their children that prayer is so vital because of who we're praying to? Not because of what He does for us, necessarily, or not all the things He's going to give us, but just because He loves us. Our God is powerful, and He is majestic, and He is awesome. And I look at Hannah, and I think, here it is. Let's pass on our faith. And we need to be encouragers to our mothers to continue passing on their faith. Asking ourselves all the time, can we find satisfaction in prayer rather than in the results of it? We want to encourage passing on of our faith. We want to encourage the advice. How many of you have had a mother that's given you advice? Anybody? I've had a lot of advice. And my mother and a lot of other ladies that I would say, spiritually speaking, are mothers, have given me advice through the years. And we look at that and we take it and we grasp that. And God gave in the Ten Commandments, as Moses in Exodus chapter 20, remember what He said, honor who? Your father and your mother. Honor your mother. How do you honor your mother? Well, there's all kinds of ways to honor them. But we honor them by talking to them and sharing with them our appreciation for what they've done, the advice that they've given us, the encouragement that they've done, the faith that they've shared with us. How many times do we stop and tell our mom, Mom, I am so appreciative of you always studying your Bible and always having an answer if I had a question. I can remember nearly every morning I've been around my mom, I would go in. My mom has got her Bible out reading from it every single day. A lot of times at night, she would sit there with a lamp on in her chair and she would be reading her Bible. And I think, why, as a kid, why do you read that all the time? Why do you read the same book? I read a book one time, I'm done. I'm good. But that faith, the importance of God's Word with her was something that encouraged me. And then I stop and think, how many times do we tell? How many times do we encourage our moms in saying, thank you for all this advice that you've given me, especially good, sound advice from God's Word? Paul, talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he's telling him, he said, now, what I want you to do is I want you to treat the older women like what? Like mothers. And he uses that term because he says, spiritually speaking, in this church, you have a lot of ladies that have a lot of motherly advice. Good, sound, positive, godly advice. And so I want you to treat them like a mother. With respect, absolutely. But with questions, what would I do? What should I do? Can you help me with something? Can you do these? Can you give me this advice? And then he'll say even later in the next one, in 2 Timothy, as Paul's writing to him, he says, I am reminded of your great faith that was first in your grandmother and your mother. And so he's talking to Timothy and he's reminding him where his faith came from and how and who gave that faith to him, who strengthened that faith in his life. And he said, I want you to have that faith and I want you to share that faith. But he was reminding him where it came from. I don't think that's an accident. I don't think he just accidentally said that. You need to be encouraging. You need to encourage your mother and your grandmother. And if they're no longer here, you find someone else in your life that is a mother, and you encourage them to do the same thing that your mother did. You encourage them to pass on their faith. You encourage them to be godly mothers. You encourage them to do the things that God created them to do. We are always looking for ways to help one another, especially when we talk about our moms. Proverbs chapter 31. We read a little passage out of it a while ago, but earlier in the beginning of that chapter, Solomon is writing and he's recording the beginning of that, of a mother talking to her son, who happens to be a king. And so the mother is talking to her son and she lays out some things, some advice to him, some life lessons to him, and says, all right, you're king, I know that, but there are some things in your life that you need to make sure you don't participate in, that you don't dive headfirst into those things. Number one is women. Women are bad. Now, she didn't say a wife is bad. What she said is, when you go out as king, you're going to meet women every single day that are going to want something from you, want a relationship with you, so that they can say whatever they want to say about that relationship. They want to trap you. They want to do whatever, those kinds of things. That's what she's warning him. You are the king. You need to be careful about the people that you're around. You need to be careful about the women in your life. You need to be careful about the things that society's going on and what your friends want. And very specifically, she says, stay away from alcohol. Period. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is for fools. That's what she says. Stay away from it. There is absolutely nothing, any good in your life that will come out of you participating in with alcohol. Nothing. That's what she says. That stuff is not for people like you. You're a king. You shouldn't be around those things. That's for foolish people. People who really don't care what God thinks about them or what their role is or what God created them to be. That's what Solomon writes. Now he says, now I participated in all those things and I found it's all foolishness. It really, truly is. And but what this mom does in Proverbs 31 is she focuses on a true purpose in life. And she says, son, here's your purpose. You were a king to lead the people. You don't get down where they are and do the things that people are doing. You bring them out of that. You're the guide. You're the one who is supposed to lead, not follow. And so you need to be different. You need to focus on the things that God created you to be, the things that God has laid at your feet that He has empowered you to do. You need to focus on those things. What things in our life has our moms, have our moms focused us on? Your mom ever tell you, you need to quit worrying about this. You need to focus on what you're doing. Have you finished your homework? How many moms? How many of you have asked your kids that? Have you finished your homework? Do you have any questions? What are you doing? Your finals are coming up. I can see some of the kids right now that are grinning. I don't even have to look at moms. Are you ready for your final? Are you ready to walk across the stage? Are you ready to do those things? Moms, focus us on our purpose in life. What all has your mom encouraged you to? What are we, though, encouraging our moms to do? And look around you. You take just a second. I just shout, everyone, it's all right. Right now, it's not rude. I want you to just look around this room right now. Just look left, look right. You can look behind you if you want. Some of you are not. Some of you are just staring at me going, I am not going to turn around for anything. It doesn't matter what you tell me to do. I'm not doing it. It's okay. Look around. How many mothers, grandmothers, or future mothers are in this room right now? What are we doing to encourage one another to be, to stay focused on what God created us to be? If you are a mother, what did God want? What does He expect of you as a mother? It'd be pretty important to understand what He wants, wouldn't it? If we want to be faithful, we want to be faithful to God. Who are we encouraging in this life to be the mother God intended for her to be? I hope today you tell your mother, if you have the opportunity, thank you for helping me. And be thoughtful about it. Don't be general. Say, these are the things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for you being my mother, but I'm grateful that you taught me this and this and this, and that you said this and this, and you warned me away from these things. Tell your mother that you're grateful for those things. We need to be that kind of encourager. We need to be the encouragers of our young lady to become and to prepare themselves for the day that they become a mom. That these are the things that are going to be expected of you. It's not all easy, is it? Do you remember when your children were little and they had colic or they were crying all the time and things were going, and what did you do on about the fourth or fifth night that you didn't get any sleep? Slap your husband and say, get up, it's your turn. Right? Because he's over there. Right through it. Now there's an ability of men that women don't have. Men can sleep through anything. What are we doing? How are we encouraging? One last thing, we'll close with this, is we have a debt. Debt not only of gratitude to God, debt not only to encourage our ladies to be all God created them to be, but we have a debt to reproduce. Now, I'm not talking about having children reproducing. I'm talking about reproducing like kind. What God created our ladies to be, we are supposed to reproduce the same. In 1 Peter 3:7, he says, you, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now he's talking just not weaker as in they're not as smart. We know that's not true. They're not that. We're talking just a physical stature. But he says, what I want you to do is not focus on necessarily the physical things. What I want you to focus on is this. You are fellow heirs of the grace of God. The two of you are together. You are one. And your relationship with God should be one that is strengthening and is empowering each other. You need to do this. Why do we need to do that? Because you're not only your relationship is not only important, but those around you. Think about your children. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with our children? Mothers need to understand that. We encourage our wives to be everything that God created them to be. And sometimes as husbands, we fail in doing that. I know I do. I don't encourage my wife as much as I need to about being who God created her with all the talent that she has. How can we possibly have faithful daughters if we don't encourage their mothers to be faithful? We can't. We have the greatest tool. God has given us the greatest tool to help our daughters be successful in their mothers. How can we possibly even dream that our daughters are going to be faithful, that our daughters are going to be what God called them to be, if we're not encouraging our wives to be faithful mothers? And our young ladies, what kind of mothers are you going to be? What kind of mothers do you want to be? When you have children, and those children grow up, and they look back over their life, what will they have experienced? What will that generation say about our generation, about you, their mother, or their grandmother? What will they say? You see, we have all of that at our disposal right now. Our little ones are an open book, and they're writing chapters, they're writing pages every single day of their life, and we're encouraging and we're helping them to write that narrative. What narrative are we helping them write? Proverbs chapter 31 again, and we'll close with this. If you haven't read through 31, read through it today. But the things that John read that I asked him to read earlier, here are some of the things that it says. There's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful picture of a godly woman, a mother, a wife, right here. An excellent wife, he says, is harder to find or is more valuable than precious jewels. Jewels, diamonds, and rubies, and sapphires are worthless in comparison to a godly woman. How hard do we work at finding precious jewels in comparison to how hard we work at encouraging the ladies in our life? It says she is a partner. Think about this. What does a partner mean? If you've ever had a partner in something, what happens when one partner fails? Both fail. And so we get this idea that this is we're together, we're in this to help one another all the way through. Here is this picture, this wife, this woman is helping. She is her husband's partner to make sure that he is successful and that their children are, and their children will raise up and will honor their mother because of all the things. That this woman is strong and she's purposeful, she's kind and she's compassionate, but she's not a fool. She is the one who's directing. This is a woman who fears God. And so today, as we talk about honoring our mothers, we think about honoring them. How do we honor them? We honor them with this debt of gratitude to God. God, thank you for creating, giving us the perfect creation. Women are that. And we do everything we can to encourage that. Mothers, we want to say thank you. We want to let you know how much you mean. We know that a country will fall. Every empire, we go back through history, every empire that fell, they fell because the women, the mothers, bought into all the other stuff that was going on in their culture. As long as we have strong moms, they can change a world's outcome. Raising our children to become strong, faithful believers in God. We're thankful to God this morning for our moms. We're thankful for the perfect design that He's given us. We're thankful for all the blessings that they mean to us in our life. And I hope and pray that you have that kind of mother in your life. Wouldn't it be great if we just encourage our moms even more? Because honor your mothers.
aren't the mothers that you see around you.